You're listening to Real Facts on Real Estate with Sean Patrick Maloney.
This sounds good.
Welcome to episode 50. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney.
Welcome, Chris. Thanks for coming today. I'm here with Chris DeLeon of Credit Success Academy, also runs a credit group. Chris, how's it going today?
I'm good. How about yourself? How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to learn more about credit today. Why don't we start off? Can you tell everybody the name of your group on Facebook if they're looking to find out more on credit leveraging?
Yeah, definitely. The name of my Facebook group is called Credit to Wealth Mastery.
Excellent. So similar to my group, guys, if you're interested in it, just get over there and request to join, and Chris will be happy to add you to his group. So Chris, let's start off with one of the first and most important things. What is the most important thing?
Definitely one of the most important things to keep in mind is making sure that you have a very good credit score, because credit can actually open up a lot of opportunities to not only leverage it to get lines of credit that can help you make large purchases like a home or an automobile that you normally can't afford if you don't have any cash, but also some other things you may not think about, like getting an apartment. You may find an apartment of your dreams, but if you have a really bad credit score, you'll most likely be denied by that property manager. And then also now employers are looking at credit scores, especially if you're in any kind of financial roles, they will look at your credit score. So that's another important thing to mind. So that's really important why you need to have a really good credit score for that. And then also something that I recently came across was learning how wealthy people actually leverage credit in order to create their income and wealth. And this is something that we're not taught about in schools. No one really talks about this in mainstream media. Everybody all talks about debt is bad, stay away from it. But with having a really good credit score, you can actually leverage your personal credit to access larger credit lines that you can use to either fund your business, fund your investment projects, and so forth. So that's really something important to keep in mind when it comes to credit.
Yeah, that's all really interesting stuff. I actually have seen what you said firsthand as a real estate broker. I've gone to get a person an apartment and had them get denied because of past history. And understandably, I mean, you're letting someone move into your house. You want to know that they're going to make their payments. So it is something that sometimes people forget. Sometimes there's unfortunate circumstances where you do have to take hits to your credit report because of your financial standing. But a lot of times making that minimum payment is actually a lot easier than people make it out to be. And hiding never helps at all. So let's talk about one of the things. What's something that you would say is an unknown factor that can negatively affect somebody's credit score that people don't pay enough attention to?
Yeah, definitely. One of the biggest assumptions that people make is if I pay all of my bills on time, if I pay my credit card balances in full by the due date, I'll have a really good credit score. But what surprises a lot of people who make on-time payments and they wonder why their credit score is, you know, in the 600s, which is considered average, is they don't know that one of the biggest factors of the credit score is your credit utilization ratio. And that basically means the amount of your credit limit that you're using to make purchases on your credit card. So for example, if you have a credit card limit that is $10,000 and you're spending $9,000 on your credit card, that's a 90% utilization. And that's considered really bad for your credit score. So you want to keep it under 30%. And a lot of times, let's say you max out your credit card and then the credit card reports the balance, which is equal to your credit limit, that's going to show 100% utilization. And that's going to ding and tank your credit score. So that's definitely something I always tell people to pay attention is what's your balance? You know, when is your statement closing date? Because the banks typically report the balance on your statement closing date to the three major credit bureaus, which are Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And if you're not paying attention to your balances, that can ding your credit score, even if you're paying your bills and your credit card statements on time and in full.
Excellent. Yeah, that's something that I know sometimes in the business world, we're always trying to almost like cash flow ourselves during intermediary times when you have a big closing coming up or you have some big thing coming up, and it can lead to these yo-yo lifestyles on the credit reports. And it can really, I've seen it personally firsthand, you know, you can see.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a hack there, because a lot of times I see entrepreneurs using their personal credit cards to expand their business. So for example, if they're in e-commerce, they need to buy inventory before a Black Friday, Cyber Monday sale. So they need to max out their credit cards. And when that gets reported to the personal bureaus, that gets maxed out. That actually gets reported as 100% utilization, which will lower their credit score. But what a lot of entrepreneurs are surprised to learn is many of the business credit card issuers don't report to the credit, to the personal credit bureaus. There are a couple of banks I do, like Capital One and Discover, but I have business credit cards with Citi, Bank of America, Chase, and American Express, and none of them report to the personal credit bureaus. So if you need to make a large purchase on any inventory, equipment, or maybe pay for advertising expenses, and you need to temporarily max out your credit card in order to get the inventory in to sell that and make a profit and pay back your balances, that's not going to report on the personal credit bureau. So that's, you know, one hack I like to tell entrepreneurs and businesses.
Yeah, that's interesting. I actually never knew that, but it makes sense when I look at my credit score, and I always wondered where certain things were. You know, you look at how much you owe and everything. So that would make sense.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you do if you're in a situation where when you go and you look at your credit report, you disagree with it? You know, something's wrong. You don't feel like it's right. What do you do at that point?
Yeah, definitely. When you review your credit report, you want to audit it. So I'll go a little bit, a step back on how to get a credit report, especially if you're new to the whole credit game, is you can go to a site called annualcreditreport.com. And by federal law, you're entitled to one free credit report from each of the three credit bureaus within a 12-month period. So you're going to want to go ahead and get your free credit reports. And then once you get that, you want to look at all of the pieces in the credit report. So you want to look at your personal information, such as your name, your date of birth, social security number. Sometimes it may list your spouse name. You want to make sure that all that information is correct. And then once you've audited the personal information, you want to look at all of the accounts. So you want to look at the name of the account number. You want to pay attention to the payment history. You want to pay attention to the balances on that. You want to pay attention to the credit limits, because if any of that information is off, it could hurt your credit score. So for example, let's say you have a credit card limit that's actually $10,000, but the credit card issuer or the lender is only reporting your limit at $5,000 and it's showing a very high utilization. That's going to tank your credit score because of that incorrect information. So what you're going to want to do is do a Google search online and look for credit report dispute template. And then you want to follow those templates, and then it'll basically tell you to tell the credit bureaus to investigate with the original creditor that's reporting the false information or incorrect information. And by law, they have to investigate within 30 days. And if they don't respond back within 30 days, then that negative information has to be removed from the credit report. And this is pretty common when it comes to collections, because a lot of time the way that they're reporting it is incorrect and inaccurate, which is hurting somebody's credit score. But if you do notice some other information, like let's say the wrong account name is there, the wrong balance is being reported, and the wrong credit limit, you also want to send a letter to the credit bureau as well, disputing that the information is inaccurate and needs to be corrected. Otherwise, it'll be hurting your score.
Excellent. Yeah, I know that there's people that sometimes dispute things because they just want to dispute them. But then I know there's other people that actually have real errors on there. And as you know, big business, this is your personal credit score. You can't trust a big business to be safe with it. You need to make sure you keep up with it as well.
Yeah. You can't just assume it's going to be inaccurate. And I've come across cases where someone hasn't checked their credit report in, let's say, 3 years. And then when they check it, they see a bankruptcy and they know they've never filed bankruptcy. But a lot of times the credit bureaus pull information from public records. And if somebody, you know, in that person's jurisdiction has the same name, it might actually go on the wrong person's credit report unless you catch it. Then that's something you want to dispute.
Sure. So at the beginning of this conversation, we talked a tiny bit about it, but why do you think so many people are afraid of credit? Like, what made that happen?
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot of lack of education. If you look at mainstream media and if you look at, you know, the Dave Ramseys and the Susie Ormans, they're going to tell you that all debt is bad. Stay away from debt. Cut up your credit cards. And a part of it is true, like getting into consumer debt, buying things that you can't afford just to impress people you don't like. is a bad thing. I don't recommend anybody doing that. But what they don't teach you is how to leverage credit properly to create income streams and to create wealth. That's something that's never taught in schools. We don't learn that in high school. That's not a required course in college. You know, we pay for all of these expensive courses like calculus, but they don't teach you like how to improve your credit or how to budget properly. So it's a lack of education, especially when among young people, that they don't know anything about credit. So people get scared. And especially when you're hearing all this negative news about, you know, the credit card debt is like in the trillions of dollars. Student loan debt is an all-time high. There's a lot of fear and a lot of panic. And that's why people stay away from that. And then many people who go to college, they graduate with six figures in debt and they have no way, that idea how they're even going to figure to pay it off, especially if they're getting a very low salary job. So they're even more afraid to take on more debt because of the debt that they already have from their student loans. So a lot of it is education. And this is something, you know, I'm in my 40s and I'm only learning this right now. And it was through our mutual mentor, Cole Hatter, you know, who's a real expert in real estate, that talks about the difference between good debt and bad debt. And that's when I started looking at, you know, what exactly is good debt? And if you look at all of the multimillionaires and billionaires, they've leveraged debt, they've leveraged their credit lines in order to build their empires. So this is, you know, a main reason why I'm really passionate about it, is getting this information out there to people that, you know, debt could be bad if you're using it to buy stuff that you don't need to impress others. But if you're using it to create income streams and wealth, then that could be a very positive thing.
I look at it, it's funny, and this may seem completely unrelated, but I always looked at it as very similar to marketing. If you're looking at it as an expense, you're probably using it for the wrong thing. But if you're looking at it on the return on investment side of things, then you're probably heading in the right direction. Because if you're putting it on your debit card or credit card, and you're doing it and you're going, oh, geez, that cost me a lot, chances are you shouldn't use it. But if, like you said, you buy inventory for Black Friday, you pay $1,000, you turn it for $5,000, you pay off that thing, you grab those miles, you don't pay much interest at all, if any, how is it a bad thing? It's obviously a growth strategy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And especially when you pick the right, when you're using like one of those credit cards with a 0% APR that offers cash back, it's okay, I can pay for advertising, spend money on Google, spend money on Facebook. And then when the sales comes in, I can pay off all the credit card balances before the due date. And that way you're not even touching your own money. You're using other people's money to create these income streams. You know, so that's one way of leveraging credit. And a lot of these credit card issuers can give you, you know, a 6 to 12 to 18 month 0% introductory APR. So if you use your credit properly, you can use it to create income streams to scale like any advertising efforts that are profitable, or even investing in inventory that you know is profitable for you as well.
Yeah. And the other one that I had never thought of, I met with a really good accountant back in the day, and he had taught me a lot about this, about people being smart with their money. And one of them was, he said, you know, if you take that money and you invest it in the market, whatever market it be you're in, even at a low rate of 5% to say 8% return on investment on that money, you also then get your bonus points and miles and you pay no interest. You're able to keep your free cash flow to play with those other things and paid off. So he said, you know, a lot of people look at just the points or just the percentages, when in reality, it allows that cash that you have to be powerful for you in other places.
Yeah. I mean, I've also heard people, and I haven't done it myself personally, which I'm actually going to investigate it, but some people have taken their cash back and bought Bitcoin with it or bought penny stocks. So they're using like free money basically to make money. And then if their Bitcoin drops down in value or they lose money in their stocks, it wasn't, you know, money in the first place. So that's an idea, you know, I'm kind of toying around with and exploring a little bit more, you know, what to do with it if I decide to get more cashback cards.
So let me ask you a next question. Do you recommend credit monitoring? I see that out there a lot of places offering credit monitoring.
I definitely do. The main reason why is it really helps you catch identity theft early in the process, because basically with identity theft, if somebody has your social security number and they try to apply with your credit, it's going to show up on your credit report as a hard inquiry. And then if you have credit monitoring, the monitoring service will tell you, hey, you applied for new credit recently. And if you don't recognize it, you can dispute it right away. Saying that this wasn't you and that you're a potential of identity theft. Because I've heard a lot of cases where And I'm only saying this because I know I have I have a family member right now that's dealing with being a victim of identity theft. So I'm really just educating everybody to set up a credit monitoring service. But you want to catch it early on, because once it gets too late, and let's say the thief racked up, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of debt, and then if you catch it, one is, you know, you may be liable for that right now, but it's a very difficult process to get that fixed. So you want to catch it. You want to catch it early. You know, if you get an alert on your credit report that somebody tried to apply for new credit, you want to catch that right away before it becomes a big problem.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to PM me, DM me, email me, call me, whatever works best for you. Make sure to tell your friends, family about this podcast. Make sure to follow the podcast if you've not already done so. And check out our group on Facebook under Real Facts on Real Estate. Thank you for listening this week, and I look forward to talking to you next week.